Here it comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. We're going to shine a really bright spotlight on the Southwest tonight. And everybody, I'm just going to sound like a little bit like the whiny voice, but it's really the voice I want to be inspirational. This show is made possible due to the generous support of Discount Cab Company. People, this company is a Phoenix-based company. It's Phoenix and Tucson leading taxi cab service offering, I'm going to say it, safe, clean, and green taxi service. So when you are in need of this kind of transportation, be a localist. Make a greener choice and think Discount Cab if you are in need of transportation. You name it. I don't even want to mention that other company with four letters. Discount Cab has an app. They are on demand. They are doing great things like partnerships with the University of Arizona. They're creating new technology with Prius. So this is a company you want to remember, Discount Cab. So let's get on the show with the show, as they say, and I rarely say that, but what a fun, informative, and intentional show we have for tonight. Joining me in studio to share a wonderful story with us are Drew and Hillary Eshelman, co-founders of Drewbies. I love that, D-R-E-W, Drewbies. And you did hear it right. We're going to talk about the bees. And I was wondering if we're going to talk about the birds and the bees or just the bees.
Well, we're going to talk about all of it.
Everything.
And no holds barred on Drewbies.
And I'm full disclosure, I know these people, and the chances of us of staying on point are pretty much two, slim and none. But you guys tell
us. It will
us,
be interesting path anyway.
It'll be interesting. It'll be fun and informative. Tell us how you started with beekeeping and how you fell in love with the bees. Where did that begin? And I told them they could cut each other off. I mean, we all do that in this
we
world.
We do that anyway.
We all do that. Don't worry about it. There's no
We're
protocol.
Working on it.
Well, let's see, how did it start? So I've always been into gardening. We were house sitting for quite some time at
Kathy and Chris. Carrie. Kathy is the general manager of KXCI.
Okay. Hi, Kathy.
Chris books the music at Rialto. They're okay. Both just beautiful Tucsonans.
Big local important thought leaders in this community.
So who let us live in their beautiful house with our beautiful child for 2 years.
That was amazing.
We had a gorgeous garden, and then we bought a little house in Palo Verde neighborhood in Tucson and renovated it. And Andrew put in the most beautiful garden, and we realized it wasn't getting fertilized.
Yeah,
I mean, it wasn't getting pollinated.
Back to Kathy and Chris, the garden there went crazy. It just grew really well. We had tons of vegetables and fruits and amazing stuff, and there were bees everywhere. And so when we moved to the new place, I was like, great, I'm a gardener. I can do this. So
I got
the same
this.
Thing.
It's just not that easy. Yeah, I'm glad you're sharing this. Yeah, it just isn't.
Yeah, I tilled the earth.
Everybody can be a gardener. You have to have commitment.
True.
So go
ahead. And all the ingredients.
And yeah, the garden didn't grow. Nothing happened. It just, we had little shoots came up and the plants kind of grew a little bit, but nothing took off. And so I had remembered, I'm like, well, I don't see any bees. There's just nothing here. This is really weird.
The master pollinators.
Yeah. And at this point, I know nothing about beekeeping. I don't know. I know bees sting you, and that's about it. And so a good friend of ours, this guy.
Oh, like, no. Andrew asked the neighbor. He said, hey, it looks like you have a garden over there. What's going on?
Yeah,
and she said, I had to pollinate it by myself last year.
Yeah, by hand.
By hand. And I was like, well, that sounds like bullshit. Let's get a beehive.
That sounds really time intensive.
Yeah. So it wasn't. Yeah. I don't think. Yeah.
So you weren't cut out for that.
So. I wasn't. Yeah. So we had a friend who had been keeping bees for probably 4 or 5 years at that point. And Hillary, again, I'm sort of I'm the turtle. She's the hare. You know, I'm a little slow and steady.
What a
and
great then, combination.
It is.
I mean,
yeah,
it is.
It's worked
I
out
resemble
well.
That remark.
Yeah. So I said, maybe we should get bees. And, And I said, yeah, that's a good idea. Okay, I'll think
so
about
the next
that.
Day.
So the next day, you went to work, you came home, there's bees.
There's bees.
I am so.
And I was like, I
oh,
guess
and
I'm
everybody, a- she snorts. Okay, first official snort on Mrs. Right. Green's World.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, so then, we had one hive, and it went through that season and learned about beekeeping, and then.
Let's roll back for a minute, though.
Sure.
How do you get bees? You just went and got bees. I mean, come on. People want to know, how did you do it?
You shake them off a tree.
Of really great listeners.
There's all, no. There are all
kinds that's
of
not
ways.
What you did, right?
That's what we do now. We're smart.
But how did you bring it get so the next day? How does it start?
The first way.
Let the man tell you.
Yeah. Again, we were friends with a local beekeeper. And he, at the time, he was, I don't know if he was even selling them like that, but he said, yeah, I'll sell you a beehive.
And so, he agreed to mentor us.
And he agreed to help us.
That helps.
Yeah, it's super important to have someone who knows what they're doing.
Right.
Yeah.
And we've read book. Andrew read a book, and then
it takes commitment.
It does. So we started out with that one. Oh, and then if you wanted to get bees in another way, like what we're doing now, I go out and catch them. People call me, and they say there are bees in my roof. There are bees on a tree, and I go out there with a box and a saw. And I cut the branch off and I throw it in a box and take them home.
And do you have like those white hazmat suits?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a bee suit.
Because I would. That's really smart.
You have to wear a bee suit.
For bees. I'm sorry. Yeah. That's a really
especially
bad analogy.
I know, shut it, Mrs. Green. Ay, Dios mío. Let's not give them a bad impression, shall we?
No.
These are beautiful, strong girls who are just protecting themselves.
Yes. Yes, they're showing up in nature to say, get out of my hive.
Yeah,
you're messing with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, we take. Now we're taking, some of those, spicy colonies, and we have a friend of mine has a bunch of land down in St. David, so we take these.
Love it there.
Yeah, so gorgeous down there, and such, great people.
Good people.
Let us use their land to take these animals down there that are, we catch them, we don't necessarily know the temperament, but a lot of the wild bees around here, they'll get after you, absolutely. So we take them down there, we put them in a box and let them be bees and see what their temperament's like and then make adjustments as needed. And then once they're nicer, not as defensive, we can bring them back up. And we're planning on trying to place them in people's yards to sort of reintroduce beekeeping into neighborhoods.
And, if there's going to be a major takeaway from this, it's how you are adapting to nature. You're not asking nature to adapt to man ways. And that struck me. Seriously, for all the fun we're having, you're going down there and letting them see what's happened. Because if they had a choice, I don't think you'd want to be born an Africanized killer bee.
Right. Well,
but then if we adapt and work with that, there's another path.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can, it's funny in the U.S., we label everything. Like
yes.
Africanized. Killer.
Yes.
It's true.
Tear that apart. Yeah.
And
I love it.
And that's
bad. Stereotypes, right? Even for bees.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, they're terrified of these things. But if you look at the statistics, I think annually, my numbers might be a little off, but like probably 5 to 6 people die of a bee attack or whatever.
For goodness
How many people
sakes.
Die every day from a car accident? That's something we do every day, which is 1,000 times more dangerous.
But, I don't want a beehive.
Obesity.
I don't want right.
other really
diabetes.
Big killers,
yes.
diabetes, things like that.
I don't want
smoking.
A beehive in your backyard. Smoking.
I love that you bring that up because it is. We're really very quick to decide. And that it also goes all back to the same thing in the traditional media. Fear-based.
Yep.
Fear-based. Fear. Let's be afraid of bees. Fear. Let's be afraid of bees. Yeah.
And that's why. And so the way that we're mistreating them will be overlooked because we're protecting you from these vicious, horrible
killers.
Creatures. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know anybody.
No, you're not. You are hurting and abusing an integral piece of
and
our environment.
A point of nature that's so important. I mean, everybody seems to know the critical role that pollinators, not just
Absolutely.
Bees, but pollinators play, and that you can be a pollinator. We're pollinators because we have all desert plants in the front yard, so the hummingbirds come and the bees come and the
And you don't use Roundup.
And the butterflies come. Oh, I'm gonna
And you don't buy, I mean, you don't buy GMO modified
Mrs.
seeds.
Green had to leave the show to go be sick to her stomach. Yeah, Roundup ready. I want everything Roundup ready, especially to kill those weeds out there. It's like, oh my goodness. Oh,
but okay. That's the common.
It is just, yes, let's spray it.
And that is something else that people need to be reminded of. This is something you can do.
And it kills the bees and it's really hurting your pets. So there's another segue.
And if there's food anywhere around there.
The air, it's a multiplier of. Yeah, talk
it's
about
all connected.
Killer. So you decided to get the bees. How'd the garden do? We have to go back to that. Did the garden flourish?
Coming back. Yeah, like you said, we have a lot of, we can go on sidetracks here all day.
And we can.
We'll bring it back. We'll bring it on back.
The garden started to come back and started to be productive. And then we started to get more and more beehives. And then before I knew it, I mean, actually the garden, I just sort of forgot about. And became so focused.
The bees. The girls went out. Yeah. I was jealous. He would come in and I was like, you are messing with those bees so much.
Yeah.
I'm getting a little bit. I think you need to take a break because I think they're feeling a little. I know. I'm like, I think they're feeling a little crowded and I'm feeling a little neglected.
So they're
magnificent calming creatures. It's an addictive thing. They are powerful and calming, if that makes sense.
Well, when you watch their work, if you watch any of the specials on TV, you want to go in and see what's going on inside. I mean, it's magic.
It's magic.
And the way they communicate and how they find their ways back. They're magical creatures with highly elevated and evolved
crafts,
everything. It's like, yeah, of course they had beekeepers and major stuff going on at the Bioneers conference I was telling you about. And I'm going to tell Bioneers.
I'm just going to follow you around the country.
I just ate it. But, you know, the thing that I love about your story is that you have a home, you have a piece of land, and anybody who does, even if you live in an apartment, if you have access to the outside, you can become a part of making a difference. You can have your own, talked about this all week, your climate action plan, because it's not going out and buying 70 acres if you can't. It's about, I live here, this is my apartment, what can I do to
and
help
it's not
the pollinators?
About working, it's not about working at a job that has no soul so you can make $1 million so one day you can buy 70 acres and live off the grid and then help the land. There's so much.
Climate action starts
now.
Right? You should get bumper stickers. If Hillary and I were ever put in a room, we'd either change the world and wave quicker or kill each other.
We wouldn't kill each other.
I'm only kidding.
We might drink each other under the table.
I said that first. No, I'm so only kidding.
Oh gosh, that's not me. You can take it all. Take all of it.
It's
all you, girl.
Mrs. Green's world, it's like if I wanted it to be about me, I would have called it the Gina Show. Like, I don't care if anybody even knows
Gina.
My name. Yeah, Gina. So the garden flourished. You became beekeepers.
We also started to interact with our neighbors a lot more.
So much. They came and thanked us.
People would come and thank us.
Because their gardens were healthier?
Yeah, the guy. I remember the first guy. I don't remember his name. He came to the door and he said.
He knocked on our door.
He knocked on the door and he said,
which
I noticed.
Which is noteworthy.
So lovely.
There are a lot of bees going in and out of your backyard. And initially I'm like,
I know, we're like, sorry.
And he said, he said, I wanted to thank you. He said, I've lived here. He'd been there it's an older neighborhood. I think they started the neighborhood in the 40s, and he had probably been there since
his family's a couple generations.
Yeah. And he said, you know, for a while, my citrus trees did really well. And he said, for years, though, they've just nothing's been happening. And this year,
he said, you need to come over and see this beautiful symphony of bees hovering all around my tree. And he said, I just want to thank you.
You know, they're probably feral bees, I'm sure. But I mean, there's that coincidence that the year we move in is the year that, you know, the bees take off again in the neighborhood. And so we started thinking, we're like, why couldn't we just install hives all over the place?
Everybody, and the honey from these hives is so unique. We can have a hives right next to each other, and each season it's completely different, and each hive is completely different. And
each
so we
harvest.
Started talking about the terroir of honey. This, like, every single trip out that bee makes, every single plant, every single journey, the way the air is, the way the soil is, how people treat.
It's all
our environment.
It is.
You can taste it in the honey, and then you can compare it to other honeys, and it is so beautiful, and it's such a wonderful way to reward your community for all of this hard work that they've done in planting pollinators, in not using Roundup, in not killing the bees or being afraid of a hive next to you, in understanding that you need to start planting your own gardens in your community.
And if you eat it,
it's so good for you.
It's healthier for you. I mean, I remember way back in the beginning of Mrs. Green's world, my friend Jim Gentile gave a presentation as a favor to me to our sponsors, and he talked about bee pollen, local bee pollen, and that if you're eating the bee pollen that's sourced locally, what it, the impact it can have on allergies and your whole system. So it's
metabolism.
Really,
it helps with sleep. It helps with metabolism. It. I use it on my hair. I use it on my face. I mean, literally, I bathe in this stuff.
This is really great.
It is
so
the nectar of the gods.
Palm oil. Do we want to go off on that?
Yeah, we can. If you want to, I'm like, you want dog on that? Yeah, honey. Wound care. Andrew's a nurse, and the qualities of honey for taking care of wounds, just incredible.
It goes on and on. Like, I did not know that. I knew that it would help people greatly with allergies without taking a pill. Mm-hmm. So then are you guys like, I want to know I have Drubies, my chapstick, everywhere. How did it segue from that? And what part do you see? Because I hear you saying you're beekeepers, beekeeper removal. I know that you do that because I know you.
And watch for Drubies in the spring. When Drubies. You guys have bees, call us.
So
we'll take you.
What about the chapstick?
How did it transition?
Because you're just the beginning of this part of the journey, because you went from garden to
6 months ago
to beekeepers.
We started making chapstick.
And it's making an impact already.
People like it.
Us about your chapstick.
Yeah. I think a big thing was we had watched a documentary. I don't remember the name of it, but it was about Bert Shavitz.
Oh, gosh. Way before that, though, the natural products and
Ellis's
eczema.
You had been into that, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the chapstick, we just, I didn't know that Burt's Bees was actually bought a while ago by Clorox.
I know. People beware.
Toms of Maine also was purchased by Clorox.
So
we started to look at this as a marketing ploy instead of as them helping our family.
Branding
versus reality. I really like that. Andrew came up with that a while ago.
I like it too.
So true.
Hashtag branding versus reality.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just because they're marketing that this is organic, quote unquote, which is just a bunch of shit. Pardon my French.
She asked me if she could curse on the show.
I'm not going to say it's a family show,
but it's okay.
We'll beep it out.
We're
going to beep it out.
They'll hear it.
Let's let them beep it. I like beeping. Just protecting myself and my family from what everyone else says I'm supposed to be doing, and realizing that it was a marketing ploy to get my money, and that my money is a vote. And that my body is perfect, just exactly the way it is. My child's body is perfect. Your body is perfect. It can take care of itself just fine. It doesn't need all of that crap.
The introduction of all of these things, the chemicals, have so many
disruptors that we don't even, it's
such a new phenomenon. Literally the past 60, 70 years is when all of the chemical assaults started. We don't even begin to know. I mean, there's so many trajectories on which we could go off. So you decided.
So we just wanted to clean it out.
Another big step, because going into retail takes conscious thought and planning and effort, because you've got packaging.
We are finding that.
Yes. You just don't start selling your product. It's really a challenge. How do you get the right containers? How are they ethically sourced? So who wants to speak to that one?
I will. This is all really important to me. And
it's important to all of us.
Well, not when you're starting a business, right? Well, what's important to most people when you're starting a business is, how do you grow this business and how do you sustain it? And money is always involved in that
conversation. Right.
And for me, in my life, I've had a lot of businesses. I've been involved in a lot of businesses. I know how this goes. for me, social entrepreneurship was the goal with this business, was not just making something to make money. It was making something to convey our why to everyone and to show them that we can do something ethically, morally, openly, lovingly, honestly, without sacrificing anything. So we got ourselves situated first, if that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. And what you're describing gives me such hope, because that is the new paradigm. As far as I'm concerned, that is the way. That's the growth of the B Corporation.
Yep.
Benefit Corporation.
Yeah, it's goal. To be, this it's is the not new to be, this is to benefit everyone. This business is to, benefit, right. is to create jobs, to create products that people can trust, that they can just trust.
That you I never don't have to look again and say, did they sell to somebody?
Is that a marketing? Oh. Is that on? We can kind of go back to the days of, oh, I know her.
I'm going to go over to her farm and buy some peaches.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to look her in the eye when I buy this, and she's going to guarantee me, and I don't need a piece of paper or a stamp or, you know, organic blah, blah, blah. I just know this is good and this is connected. I'm connecting, you know.
And it can be done on a really large scale. I interviewed Maria Rodale from the Rodale Institute, and they have rodales.com, and I guarantee you, I'm going to look you in the eye and say every product they have, it's a huge online shopping presence.
Yes.
Because it grew from a demand from her tribe saying, I'm so tired of trying to do the vetting. If you buy something there and it's a soy candle, organic, guarantee you it's GMO free.
Yeah.
You have to look.
And what about the middle
of those?
I mean, what about her making sure that everyone knew she was ethical, she was moral, she had to prove herself, right? That woman probably went through some shit.
They're a huge organization.
How did they get there, though, Gina?
They started the Rodale Institute over 40 years ago.
See?
So they've been doing it, and their name is golden. I mean, pretty much.
But you have to work for that.
They wanted unassailable scientific research. Unassailable. So it took them... 30 years to prove to the naysayers in Big Ag why growing organic, and I mean USDA certified, you name it all, fair trade, fair wage, all of that was included, and they did a 30-year study because they wanted unassailable research. So her shopping, they call it the guilt-free shopping site. She knows her farmers. She knows
if
they
were, wonderful.
It's not just USDA certified organic. How much did those workers get paid? Because that's the whole transparency of it.
Connected.
I mean, she said her staff wants to kill her sometimes. It's like, oh, these soy candles, they're either there.
Blah, sound blah, blah. Familiar?
And she said, yeah, but is the soy GMO free? And they're like,
yeah, there's no other way.
All those questions.
There's no, there's just no question. It's like, this is my yard.
This is my yard.
Right? This is my yard. This is my what daughter I allow into my yard.
On her body.
Thank you.
And eat it and lick it if she wanted to.
Thank you.
And there's no... If this comes on your body, please hurry up and get them to the hospital.
And I can hand it to you. Right.
Like all those. If there's a warning label on it, you better look. We have exactly 7 minutes left.
Yay.
Which, no.
For the whole thing?
Yes. Yes.
Ay, Dios mío. That one.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's just part one. But let's go to your making.
Chapstick.
Chapstick.
Yes.
Okay. That's huge.
So I said, Andrew.
What's number 42,
Clorox
though?
Spot.
We have to talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
The
number 42.
There's the packaging. Yeah. There's all of the...
So we have all that to worry about. But we have the recipe down. It's taken us 6 months. We gave Chapstick away to everyone. We asked for opinions.
I love it.
We shared it with everyone and thought, is this good enough? What do you think? And everyone was like, yes, this
love
is
it.
Great. So thus has started this journey. You know, we have it at Renee's Organic. We only place our Chapstick, I need to be very clear about this, with businesses who we love and we know.
And we love trust. Renee's Organic.
We love Renee's.
Talk about thought leader family.
Holy wow.
I mean, I am going to have Steve on the show to talk about, I mean, he's creating a closed loop in his yard.
It's amazing.
Every time I talk to him, there's more tilapia and more aquaponics. And I mean, he's just going to be the whole permaculture culture guru, and he's so passionate about it.
So passionate, and it comes so easily.
Renee's Organic, Govic, folks, for all of those of you that are listening, there are thousands of you. Just forgive our ADD, because it's great. It's great ADD. It's like getting all this stuff in. So
we have to be thankful, symbol. Right?
Yes, yeah. And excited. It's yes. Like not boring and sequential. Like, no, that's not fun at all.
The YWCA carries our chapstick. We gave them a big donation, so they're still going through that. So buy it there.
Leanne,
all that money goes to like, I know, it's Kelly.
Kelly. I saw Kelly.
I mean,
this
morning.
Are
life. These are our people. These are our people. Yes. They're our people, and
can't
we want to support
hear the
them.
Story. Yeah. About Blue. Okay, talk about the number 42, because I want to explain to people when you do this. Even when I changed my logo, if you are living consciously, which is to me an invitation. I think more and more and more people are. What you put down to reflect you is really important. So to come with our logo, and you know, I have wings on the heart of the earth. There's a mind, body, spiritual component that I want to know is there and hopefully translate so that people notice it. So what is the number 42 symbolic of?
So the number 42, the significance started when I was probably 6 years old. My mom, she asked me a question that probably all moms ask their children. She said, how much do you love me? And I looked at her and I just said, 42. And that's all I said.
Kidding?
Yeah. And so from, which was, you know,
it gets
better. At that point, she said, she thought, well, it's really odd and really cute at the same time. So from then on out in our family, we had quit saying, I love you. We just said 42.
Oh.
So it was always, you know, like an inside
yes,
family thing.
I get it.
And then years and years later, I think I was in the Navy at the time. And my mom calls me and she said, have you ever heard of this guy named Douglas Adams? Have you read any of his books? And I said, no, I've never heard of it. And she said, well, he wrote a book called Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Or the universe. I can't remember the exact name.
Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yeah. She had read an obituary for him. He had passed away. I think this was in maybe the late 90s, early 2000s. And she said, well, you should read that book. And I said, okay, I'll do that. And she said, there was a quote in it that I want to tell you. And in the story is about these people that go on a journey and they're searching for the answer to life, the universe, and everything. And she said, you know what that is? And yeah. And I said, no. And she said, it's 42.
You are kidding.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You are
so
kidding.
So for us, the answer is love, right?
Love. Yeah.
Like it's the answer to everything. Yeah. It's the answer to our business. It's the answer to our lives. It's the answer to solving these social ills and these environmental ills. And it's really nothing but love.
Yeah,
42.
So we put that in everything. It's one of the ingredients in everything we have. There's always 42. So.
And it's so important.
Yeah.
I don't want to minimize it at all, because even as I, you know, you guys come here on the heels of my going to Bioneers and talking about how this great shift that I came back believing is happening. And it's love. It starts with self-love,
yes,
as we all know, but
exactly.
We forget because we're not.
No, you know, it's so hard to do it. It takes such bravery.
I know. And a woman stood up and she said, I'm so busy saving the planet and doing this and writing this article and getting on one email that I forgot. And the founder of Bioneers, Nina, and her husband, Kenny, Nina said that this year, and I think she's about maybe the same age, if not a little younger than I am. So she's been here quite a while. She said, I finally decided that this year I'm dedicating to self-care. And that's the place from which everything comes. So the fact that you're doing that, we have 1 minute.
Oh, yay. So
We need another, many minutes.
So we can, I mean, the way you
tell me about how you find it, www.drewbees.com.
Drewbees.com.
I found it.
We're going to do a Kickstarter.
You're going to do a Kickstarter.
I think we're going to start it on Dia de los Muertos,
oh
Day
my
of
gosh.
The Dead, because it's sort of, we're getting a divorce.
Another interesting.
And it is it really is a death of who we were and all of those things other people told us we needed to be. And it is the rebirth of us really taking care of ourselves first and
really,
then
really.
Being able to stand on 2 feet and give back lovingly. So Kickstarter.
Just
yeah.
The whole concept.
Drewbees.com.
Like, there we go. Okay. Drewbees.com. Everybody, you know you'll hear more about it from Mrs. Green's World, because this is something at the very core of our movement's value. The Mrs. Green Movement cares about these things deeply. I have to do a little forward promote. October 31st, Ira Flatow.
Yay!
I can't believe it. The NPR Science Friday guy. And on November 3rd, equally as excited, Mary Lee Pangman, the potted gardener. She is the desert's potted gardener, and she's everything we've been talking about. Make it a great Green Week. You guys, blessings on this very important journey.
Thank you.
Let's do a little bell ringing. Thank you. Many blessings, everybody.